bones will shake, the castle wall, the ring rings red and black. Right on,
reservation, right on.
Shoot straight to the meatball. No comfort has the fire at night, the lights the face so cold.
Dance in the dark of night, sing to the
buddy. Bring it down more, says Spencer. Honestly, we'll just bring it down all the way. I'm in a talking mood. What's up, everybody?
Hey, hey, hey.
Welcome to Moist Vibes. Coming at you every Monday at 11 p.m. on 91.5 WMFO in Medford. I'm back. It's been a few weeks, but I'm back and ready to roll.
A long hiatus, Nick. What have you been up to? How was Easter in New York?
Easter in New York was great. Went to Long Island, spent some time there. Went to see some friends at Wesleyan for a hot sec, and that was really nice. Every time I go to Wesleyan, it's just a quite enjoyable time. I'm a fan of the people and the vibes that I get from there.
Was the Easter Bunny there?
The Easter Bunny was not there. They've been trying to secularize the schools or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, I'm excited to be back. And hey, well, first, I think we should... Should we introduce the folks in the room first or the theme of the hour first? And have each person introduce themselves in relation to the theme.
I like the second one. I think we should introduce the theme, and then everyone can say a little bit about what that theme means to them.
Great. So I think this is the first time we're having a theme on Moist Vibes, which is quite momentous.
Yeah. We saw each other in the Rez this morning, and we came up with the idea to do a theme about none other than literature.
Literature.
Literature. What does it mean? That's a question we'll ask.
That's a question we'll for sure ask and get to the bottom of.
Who is it for?
Why?
Why?
Wow.
Why not?
And with whom?
Exactly. So our first guest in studio is a famed novel writer, lots of graphic novels. Is that literature?
Yes, it is.
It is. Can you say your name, a little bit about what literature means to you?
My name is Jack O'Shea. I got my start writing comic books when I was actually 9 years old. It started off just as a hobby, writing Spider-Man fan fiction, but then I started taking some drawing classes, and it just grew into something of a passion of mine. Now, Marvel had no interest in working with me, so I just started my own company. We've got one comic in stores. It's called Baby Spider-Man.
Any legal action against you?
There has been no legal action against me, no. Highly recommend you pick it up. It's at a hobby shop in Davis Square. Yeah, please buy it. Validate me.
Wow. Let's just note that this man is wearing quite the shirt right now. With you want to describe what the shirt's all about?
So this shirt depicts one of the most majestic creatures in nature. There is a large brown bear hunting for fish in the middle of a river.
Nice.
And it is a large photograph that takes up the entire shirt. It's one of my favorites.
The brown bears are an aggressive people.
I'm not sure they're a people, but I agree with that
first
part.
An aggressive people.
Bears are people too.
I dig the vibes.
And our next guest?
My name is Jack O'Shea, and I specialize in Harry Potter and Star Wars crossover fan fiction. And yeah.
What's your favorite book, Jack?
The Leviathan.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I'm actually reading that right now.
Oh shit.
Absolutely crazy.
What a coincidence.
Leviathan. Brutish, I would say. Correct? Yes. And our final guest.
I would like to stress that my name is not Jack O'Shea. I am Tim Berners-Lee. Sometimes I go by Mark Fischetti. What literature is to me is it's kind of like a web that you weave of ideas. And huge web of ideas.
Whoa.
Wow.
What do you catch in that web?
Concepts
or content?
Content. We have the inventor of the web with us this evening.
Not Jack O'Shea.
Sir Tim Berners-Lee of
Tim Berners-Lee.
World Wide Web fame.
I just want to issue a quick...
I got an award recently for that. Can you talk about that for a little bit?
Yes, you won a Turing Award, I believe.
Whoa. I think so. Kind of like the Nobel for computers, I've been told.
Mm. Speaking of Nobel Prizes and our theme, literature, big controversy a while back about Bob Dylan winning the Nobel Peace Prize for literature. A lot of people within that community feel like it was eh. There was some like, he wasn't accepting it, he was accepting it. What are people's thoughts on that? Is Bob Dylan, is he a valid recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize for literature?
Well, I don't see why not. Like, you can give the Nobel Peace Prize for Literature to a poet. I can't think of any concrete examples right now, but I'm sure that like that would go off without a hitch. And what is Bob Dylan but poetry set to music?
Yes, I have to say I don't have extensive knowledge of Bob Dylan's discography or the themes of his music, but I would very much agree that literature is a spectrum, and music is part of that spectrum, and lyrics and spoken word are part of that spectrum, so I don't have qualms with it. Granted that I would agree with his messages, which, I don't know, I'm sure I would, since he's winning this thing.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey, I want to ask a quick question.
Yeah.
Or we could save it.
Why don't you ask it and
ask
then we can
it,
decide
yeah.
we can if we want to answer it or think on it for a couple songs.
I just wanna hear what the most recent book everyone has read or enjoyed has been. We'll get back to it. I'm thinking, because that's fun. We'll play some music, right? Maybe? Or do we have something else up our sleeves in this themed day? First of all, the song you just heard previously was The Battle of Evermore by Led Zeppelin.
Oh, true.
And to keep on the theme of literature, it is about Lord of the Rings. They were avid fans of Lord of the Rings. References pop up in other songs as well, such as Ramble On. So, just pretty interesting.
Quick poll here. If you had to choose Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter...
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Get out of here.
I've never seen Lord of the Rings.
I would choose...
Scene, we're talking about literature.
I've never read Lord of the Rings.
Cool. Tim Berners-Lee, what would you say?
I would choose probably the Hypertext Transport Protocol.
Right.
HTTP. Can't live without it.
Honestly, as long as I can read the Twitter Terms of Service all day, I'm happy.
Honestly, don't bring Harry Potter around me, ever.
Really?
To all you listeners out there.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. But enough. You built a theme park around this.
Jesus. I would also like to mention, I enjoy playing the Harry Potter Chamber of Secrets Game Boy Advance throwback. Game Boy Color is even better, actually. It actually was released on both platforms towards the end of the Game Boy Color's life. It's up to you. They're pretty different, actually. One's more of an RPG style game, whereas the other's a little more action. So there's one. There's a version for everyone. You can pick.
Cool.
That's the beauty of weaving the web, I suppose.
So on that note, I feel like it's only appropriate that we play a little excerpt from Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
Don't bring that around here. No, but please do.
Yeah, so just enjoy this story about the boy who lived.
Wow.
If anyone found out about the Potters. Mrs. Potter was Mrs. Dursley's sister, but they hadn't met for several years. In fact, Mrs. Dursley pretended she didn't have a sister, because her sister and her good-for-nothing husband were as un-Dursley-ish as it was possible to be. The Dursleys shuddered to think what the neighbours would say if the Potters arrived in the street. The Dursleys knew that the Potters had a small son too, but they had never seen him. This boy was another good reason for keeping the Potters away. They didn't want Dudley mixing with a child like that. When Mr. and Mrs. Dursley woke up on the dull, grey Tuesday our story starts, there was nothing about the cloudy sky outside to suggest that strange and mysterious things would soon be happening all over the country. Mr. Dursley hummed as he picked out his most boring tie for work, and Mrs. Dursley gossiped away happily as she wrestled a screaming Dudley into his high chair. None of them noticed a large, tawny owl flutter past the window. At 8:30, Mr. Dursley picked up his briefcase, pecked Mrs. Dursley on the cheek, and tried to kiss Dudley goodbye, but missed, because Dudley was now having a tantrum and throwing his cereal at the walls. "Little tyke," chortled Mr. Dursley as he left the house. He got into his car and backed out of Number 4's drive. It was on the corner of the street that he noticed the first sign of something peculiar. A cat reading a map. For a second, Mr. Dursley didn't realize what he had seen. Then he jerked his head around to look again. There was a tabby cat standing on the corner of Privet Drive, but there wasn't a map in sight. What could he have been thinking of? It must have been a trick of the light. Mr. Dursley blinked and stared at the cat. It stared back. As Mr. Dursley drove around the corner and up the road, he watched the cat in his mirror. It was now reading the sign that said Privet Drive. No, looking at the sign. Cats couldn't read maps or signs. Mr. Dursley gave himself a little shake and put the cat out of his mind. As he drove towards town, he thought of nothing except a large order of drills he was hoping to get that day. But on the edge of town, drills were driven out of his mind by something else. As he sat in the usual morning traffic jam, he couldn't help noticing that there seemed to be a lot of strangely dressed people about. People in cloaks. Mr. Dursley couldn't bear people who dressed in funny clothes, the get-ups you saw on young people. He supposed this was some stupid new fashion. He drummed his fingers on the steering wheel, and his eyes fell on a huddle of these weirdos standing quite close by. They were whispering excitedly together. Mr. Dursley was enraged to see that a couple of them weren't young at all. Why, that man had to be older than he was, and wearing an emerald green cloak. The nerve of him! But then it struck Mr. Dursley that this was probably some silly stunt. These people were obviously collecting for something. Yes, that would be it. The traffic moved on, and a few minutes later, Mr. Dursley arrived in the Grunnings car park, his mind back on drills. Mr. Dursley always sat with his back to the window in his office on the 9th floor. If he hadn't, he might have found it harder to concentrate on drills that morning. He didn't see the owls swooping past in broad daylight, though people down in the street did. They pointed and gazed open-mouthed as owl after owl sped overhead. Most of them had never seen an owl, even at night time. Mr. Dursley, however, had a perfectly normal, owl-free morning. He yelled at 5 different people. He made several important telephone calls and shouted a bit more. He was in a very good mood until lunchtime, when he thought he'd stretch his legs and walk across the road to buy himself a bun from the baker's opposite. He had forgotten all about the people in cloaks until he passed a group of them next to the baker's. He eyed them angrily as he passed. He didn't know why, but they made him uneasy. This lot were whispering excitedly too, and he couldn't see a single collecting tin. It was on his way back past them, clutching a large doughnut in a bag, that he caught a few words of what they were saying. "The Potters, that's right. That's what I heard. Yes, their son, Harry." Mr. Dursley stopped dead. Fear flooded him. He looked back at the whisperers as if he wanted to say something to them, but thought better of it. He dashed back across the road, hurried up to his office, snapped at his secretary not to disturb him, seized his telephone, and had almost finished dialing his home number when he changed his mind. He put the receiver back down and stroked his moustache, thinking. No, he was being stupid. Potter wasn't such an unusual name. He was sure there were lots of people called Potter who had a son called Harry. Come to think of it, he wasn't even sure his nephew was called Harry. He'd never even seen the boy. It might have been Harvey. Or Harold. There was no point in worrying Mrs. Dursley. She always got so upset at any mention of her sister. He didn't blame her if he'd had a sister like that. But all the same, those people in cloaks. He found it a lot harder to concentrate on drills that afternoon. And when he left the building at 5 o'clock, he was still so worried that he walked straight into someone just outside the door. Sorry, he grunted, as the tiny old man stumbled and almost fell. It was a few seconds before Mr. Dursley realized that the man was wearing a violet cloak. He didn't seem at all upset at being almost knocked to the ground. On the contrary, his face split into a wide smile, and he said in a squeaky voice that made passers-by stare, "Oh, don't be sorry, my dear sir, for nothing could upset me today. Rejoice, for you know who has gone at last. Even muggles like yourself should be celebrating this happy, happy day." And the old man hugged Mr. Dursley around the middle and walked off. Mr. Dursley stood rooted to the spot. He had been hugged by a complete stranger. He also thought he had been called a muggle, whatever that was. He was rattled. He hurried to his car and set off home, hoping he was imagining things, which he had never hoped before, because he didn't approve of imagination. As he pulled into the driveway of No. 4, the first thing he saw, and it didn't improve his mood, was the tabby cat he had spotted that morning. It was now sitting on his garden wall. He was sure it was the same one. It had the same markings around its eyes. "Shoo!" said Mr. Dursley loudly. The cat didn't move, It just gave him a stern look. Was this normal cat behaviour? Mr. Dursley wondered. Trying to pull himself together, he let himself into the house. He was still determined not to mention anything to his wife. Mrs. Dursley had had a nice, normal day. She told him over dinner all about Mrs. Next Door's problems with her daughter and how Dudley had learnt a new word, shan't. Mr. Dursley tried to act normally. When Dudley had been put to bed, he went into the living room in time to catch the last report on the evening news. And finally, bird watchers everywhere have reported that the nation's owls have been behaving very unusually today. Although owls normally hunt at night...
And is evil, capable of nothing but destruction!
Once upon a time, there was a very serious situation brewing. There was a farmer and a farmyard filled with animals, and this is the story of their times.
Old man Sammy had a farm, walked the land with the rifle. Most of the time shit was calm, his whole life was maintained off the everyday labor, from the mules in the field to the cattle in the stable. This is how he kept food on his table.
Maxine.
You would've thought he was disabled from the way he be relaxing, acting like Mr. Magnificent. But the animals was thinking something different. The sentiment was tension in the barnyard. Throughout the years they hadn't been through mad drama with the farmer, word is vanguard. And they all came to one conclusion. They argued there was no way that they'd ever be free if it was up to humans. Therefore the only course left was revolution, which was understandable. And since the pigs promised to lead it in the interest of all the animals, they planned a full attack under the leadership of Hannibal, the fattest pig in the pack. The next morning on the farm, everything was calm just before dawn. But before long the sun got so hot it made the farm seem electric. Now check it, this is when that shit got hectic. Directed by Hannibal, the animals attacked. Old Sam was in a state of shock. He fell up on his back and dropped his rifle, reaching in vain. Each and every creature from the field at his throat screaming kill, feel the pain. This is the animal and man. This is the animal and you. This is the animal and man. Coming true. This is the animal and man. This is the animal and you. This is the animal and man. Coming true. After they ran the farmer off the farm, the pigs went round and called a meeting in the barn. Hannibal spoke for several hours, but when he talked about his plans for power, that's when the conversation turned sour. He issued an official ordinance to say, if you're not a pig from this day forth, then you supporting it. That's when the horses went buck wild. One of them shouted out, you fraudulent pigs, we know your fucking style. Hannibal's face was flushed and pale, all the animals' eyes full of disgust and betrayal. He fell the same way Sam fell. They took his tongue out his mouth and cut his body up for sale, for real.
For real.
You better listen while you can. It's a very thin line between animal and man. When Hannibal crossed the line, they all took a stand. What would you have done? Shook his hand. This is the animal and man. This is the animal and man. This is the animal and you. This is the animal and man. Coming true. This is the animal and man. This is the animal and you. This is the animal and man. Coming true.
Remember.
in the black part of the city.
Yo, G, yo, G, you better get out of here, man. 5-0.
Yo, why is Q, man? What's up, man? What's up? Yo, why is Q, man? Why you always kicking the shit about the bitches and the niggas? Why don't you kick some shit about the kids, man? The fucking kids.
Word. Little boys and girls, they all love me. Come sit on the lap of ICE. And let me tell you a story or two about a punk-ass nigga I knew named Jack. He wasn't that nimble, wasn't that quick. Jumped over the candlestick and burnt his dick. Ran up the street cause he was piping hot. Met a bitch named Jill on the bus stop. Dropped a line or two and he had the hoe. At that type of shit, he's a pro. So Jack and Jill ran up the hill to catch a little nap. Dumb bitch gave him the clap. Then he had to go see Dr. Bombay. Got a shot in the ass and he was on his way to make some money, why not? Down on Sesame Street, the dope spot. There he saw the lady who lived in a shoe. So dope out the front, by the back, marijuana grew. For the man that was really important, who lived down the street in an Air Jordan. Ride to the fella, Mr. Roger the Hose. Drove a 500 sitting on the Lorenzo's. He broke out, little old Pete smoked out. Saw her and her friend selling sheepskin.
Yo, yo, got them sheepskins. Yo, money at the sheepskins. Yo, baby, what's up with that?
Hickory, dickory, dock. It was 12 o'clock. Cinderella ain't home. Must be giving up the cock. I don't doubt it. She is kind of freaky, of course. Had a fight with Snow White. She was fucking her dwarf. Saw a fight over colors, too. Red Riding Hood and Little Boy Blue. A bad influence, yo, I don't know. But Ice Cube would tell the kids how the story should go.
Yeah, money, that's it.
Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall with a joint, drink some 8-ball. Three little pigs in a coupe de ville, looking for the wolf to kill. They're fucked up and they want revenge. Them and Humpty used to be friends. Now they're enemies cause he's a traitor. Pulled out the Uzi Cruise bar and sprayed him. Cinderella hoeing for the fellas. And Mr. Rogers is getting mighty jealous of the cash that the pigs were making. Time for the pigs to get turned to bacon. Cause Mr. Rogers found out quick that Humpty Dumpty was blown to bits. They said that the motherfucking wolf is next. So Mr. Rogers better watch his step. So he let the wolf know, we're gonna fuck up the pigs and take they hoe. Cause Cinderella is much too fast. Before 12, giving up ass. Double barrels all loaded and cocked. As soon as they show, they gonna get popped. They bailed down Sesame Street in quarters. Little Boy Blue was up front giving orders. Little did they know Cinderella was a fink. She called the cops, they got thrown in the clink. A bad influence, yo, I don't know. Ice Cube would tell the kids how the story should go. Hey yo, man, was that dope enough for you?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you better go home before I whoop your little badass.
Some bedtime story, huh?
It's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live here.
Yeah, good old Mother Goose, remember
her? All right.
So how about the Harry Potter snippet?
Wow.
that went on a... perhaps a little bit long, but...
I'm just happy that he learned that new word.
I think it was just the right amount.
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
I have a sour relationship.
I'm sorry.
Do you have a favorite character from the series?
No. None of them.
Wow.
No, I like the movies, though. They're good. Just, I'm not, I don't know.
Call in.
Argue with me.
Yeah.
I dare you. I've got no supportive, reasoning, but so I'll argue.
So why don't we talk about some actual literature instead of this kid stuff.
Thank you, Jack.
No problem.
We also had Animal in Man, which is about...
Real quick recap for the real literature.
Animal in Man by Dead Prez is just... completely outlining Animal Farm by George Orwell, which is pretty interesting.
Animal Farm or 1984? What are
Animal? Oh, in terms of what you like
more?
Yeah,
if people have read those.
I liked Animal Farm because it was one of the first books where I felt like, whoa, that I read.
Books are cool.
Because I read it before. Yeah, books are cool. Because I read it before 1984. Mm. Yeah.
I haven't read Animal Farm, so I like 1984 better.
That's valid.
I know, I'm a monster.
It's like this big.
I'm sorry, Tim. For those of you who can't hear, Tim is currently throwing a lot of shade at me for not having read Animal Farm.
And remind people what your name is.
I am Dan Katz.
Dan Katz.
Dan Katz.
And Sunith, you are?
Jack O'Shea.
Jack O'Shea.
And then the last song you heard, well, just while we're finishing our recap, was A Gangster's Fairy Tale by Ice Cube.
Gangster's
you
Fairy
know,
Tale.
Shout out to all those old school. I don't know. Does that count as. Some of that stuff is like old literature, right? Some of the Disney stuff? I don't know.
Some of the old stuff.
Like
yes.
is like Cinderella like something that Disney made?
Oh, interesting. I think it is.
No, it's the Brothers Grimm.
Cinderella.
Cinderella, I think Cinderella's Brothers Grimm.
I think they were all like.
Tim thinks it's the Brothers Grimm just to recap because
Tim
he doesn't have a mic.
Build
the
web.
The weaving web.
He built the web, so he's probably right.
But the web is actually very insecure, so I think we give him a little too much credit.
Great. The new theme for the week is distributed systems. okay.
Zach.
So, Zach, yeah.
Nope.
Oh.
Dan.
Yeah, Dan's got some real literature for all you guys out there.
Yeah, so during that time period in which you were listening to some great literature and two other songs which are less mentionable than Harry Potter and Philosopher's Stone, we were having a pretty good discussion about one of the lighter topics that can be discussed, God. And I just had a lot to say on the matter. So I wanted to share some of this with you, our faithful listeners. Which is at a tally of some number.
Eight.
I seek God. I seek God. Whither is God, I shall tell you. We have killed him, you and I. All of us are murderers. But how have we done this? How are we able to drink up the sea? Who gave us the sponge to wipe away the entire horizon? What did we do when we unchained the earth from its sun? Whither is it moving now? Whither are we moving now? Away from all suns? Are we not plunging continually? Backward, sideward, forward, in all directions? Is there any up or down left? Are we not straying as through an infinite nothing? Do we not feel the breath of empty space? Has it not become colder? Is not night and more night coming on all the while? Must not lanterns be lit in the morning? Do we not hear anything yet of the noise of the gravediggers who are burying God? Do we not smell anything of God's decomposition? God's to decompose. God is dead. God remains dead, and we have killed him. How shall we, the murderers of all murderers, comfort ourselves? What was holiest and most powerful of all that the world has yet owned has bled to death under our knives. Who will wipe this blood of us? What water is there for us to clean ourselves? What festivals of atonement, what sacred games shall we invent? Is not the greatness of this deed too great for us? Must not we ourselves become gods simply to seem worthy of it? There has never been a greater deed, and whoever will be born after us, for the sake of this deed, he will be part of a higher history than all history hitherto. God is dead. And you killed him, Spencer.
Wow.
Me.
That was a...
Me.
You, me, the other Jack, and Nick, and all of our listeners. We are complicit in this.
Hey, how do I log you on this on this Spinatron account?
What are you reading from?
I'm reading from my own personal thoughts. Now, that's The Gay Science by Nietzsche. Some beautiful words there. It's a lot to think about. I didn't know that I killed God, but we killed God.
Hey, well, it's coming up on 11:38, and I'm loving the diversity of storytelling on this show.
Yeah, we've been kind of hitting a little bit of everything.
Yeah, we really have. And we'll keep chugging along, I believe. So,
play us out.
Alrighty. Since we were talking about Bob Dylan before, I figure we might want to give it a whirl. Ooh.
Getting braver. We wanna put his ass in the stir. about it all that much. It's my work, he'd say, and I do it for pay. And when it's over, just as soon go on my way up to some paradise where the trout streams flow and the air is nice, and ride a horse along the trail. But then they took him to the jailhouse where they tried to turn a man into a mouse. Were marked in advance. The trial was a pig circus. He'd never had a chance. The judge made Reuben's witnesses drunkards for the slums. To the white folks who watched, he was a revolutionary bum. And to the black folks, he was just a crazy nigger. No one doubted that he pulled the trigger. And though they could not produce the gun, the DA said he was the one who did the deed. And the old white jury agreed. Falsely tried. The crime was murder one. Guess who testified? Bellow and Bradley, and they both all they lied. And the newspapers, they all went along for the ride. How can the life of such a man be in the palm of some fool's hand? To see him obviously framed couldn't help but make me feel ashamed. To live in a land where justice is again. Criminals in their coats and their ties are free to drink martinis and watch the sunrise, while Reuben sits like Buddha in a 10-foot cell, an innocent man in a living hell. Yes, that's the story of the hurricane, but it won't be over till they clear his name and give him back the time he's done. Put in a prison cell but one time, he could have been the champion of the world.
PSA from Suneeth.
Numbers to think about, PSA. Some numbers to think about. The United States has less than 5% of the planet's population, but incarcerates 24% of its prisoners.
Damn.
And accounts for 43% of the world's total military spending.
Damn.
A public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Damn.
Thank you, Suneeth. And Spencer, you said you had a question to pose to the group.
Yeah, I was just wondering what people's thoughts on, like, the whole e-reader versus normal, like, book debate is. Like, do people think the e-reader is, like, a good option, or do people still prefer physical books?
I have to say, I'm very fine with e-readers, or, like, just using my laptop for, like, PDFs, or, like, 20-page... you know, readings. Sure. I have for class, but for, you know, a long book or novel or something like that, I think I still want the hard copy.
Yeah, I think it's definitely good, but people need to take it for what it is. It's an option, it's not a substitute. Like ideally you would want to be reading a hard copy, but there are disadvantages to that an e-reader brings to the table in terms of portability and whatnot.
And sustainability.
And sustainability.
When we think of the resources.
Mm-hmm. Wait, now, saving. This is kind of up your alley, Nick. I'm curious as to what you feel like. Do you feel like one medium has a better sustainability than the other?
Oh, for sure. The electronic. Although, there are, like, these mined minerals that go into making electronics that are causing quite some strife and, you know, environmental damage and just social damage in the regions where
and there's
their mind.
Yeah. Huh.
also the power that we use in charging, like all the devices that we use, and in maintaining servers, also has a detrimental environmental impact, true. Which I think a lot of people overlook.
No, it's true. There's a lot of side issues with it, with, like, I guess, like the packaging of the material, the product, that kind of stuff.
I suppose it depends on the like widespreadness of electronics and how many electronics one person.
I mean, I still think that like a laptop is better than carrying around hundreds of thousands of pages most of the time.
Right.
But it's just to say that neither are perfect.
Yes, I agree. All right. 11:49. Should we just keep playing the music?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's get some tunes. Cool.
Just to recap, you just had Bob Dylan, Hurricane. It was a long one. I'll give you all that.
Nobel winning,
apparently. For what? For the Nobel Peace Prize in Literature, or just Nobel Prize in Literature? I didn't think there is a Nobel Peace Prize in Literature. But
it feels like
maybe there is.
I don't know. It makes sense to me just to have the Nobel Prize in
It would be an interesting category.
What was I going to say? Emma was texting me about the question of ebooks versus hard copy.
Yeah.
And it's in my music technology and digital culture class, there's like this thing called the preservation paradox, where like you have this issue with like digital mediums, this idea that like because everything can be stored digitally, it's like you would think that we would be collecting it better. But like in reality, because it's stored so easily and because it's degrading over time, like the actual physical like bits of the computer, it's not actually stored as well.
Interesting.
So I'm just wondering if there's kind of implications with that, and like us using a particular medium, like a more digital medium now, like for our books. I don't know. Whatever.
Interesting.
Something
to think about.
Yeah. What were you going to play?
It was a suggestion from Zach over here.
Nice.
So here you go.
Yes, yes, y'all. And you don't stop to the beat, y'all. And you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all. And you don't stop. A 1-2, y'all. And you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all. And you don't stop until the beat comes. Says the beat is your shot. Come on.
I met this girl when I was 10 years old, and what I love most, she had so much soul. She was old school when I was just a shorty, never knew. Throughout my life, she would be there for me or the regular. Not a church girl, she was secular. Not about the money, those stuff was my checker, but I respected her. She hit me in the heart. A few New York niggas had dinner in the park, but she was there for me, and I was there for her. Pull out a chair for her, turn on the air for her, and just cool out and listen to her. Sitting on bone, wishing that I could do eventually. If it was meant to be, then it would be, cause we related physically and mentally, and she was fun then. I'd be geeked when she come around. Slim was fresh, yo, when she was underground. Original, pure, untapping her down. Sister, boy, I tell ya, I miss her. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. A 1-2, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. A confidence, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. You act, yo, we gotta be the sure shot. Now periodically I would see old girl at the club, sit at the house party. She didn't have a body, but she started getting thick quick. Did a couple of videos and became Afrocentric. Out goes the weave, in goes the braids, bees, medallions. She was on that tip about stopping the violence, about my people she was teaching me. By not preaching to me, but speaking to me in a method that was leisurely, so easily I approach. She dug my rap, that's how we got close. But then she broke to the West Coast, and I was cool, cause around the same time I went away to school, and I'm a man dub expanded, so why should I stand in her way? She probably get her money in LA, and she did stud, she got big pub, but what was foul? She said that the pro black was going out of style. She said Afrocentricity was of the past, so she got into R&B, hip house, bass, and jazz. Now
Now black music is black music and it's all good. I wasn't salty, she was with the boys in the hood. Cause I was new for her, she was becoming well-rounded. I thought it was dope how she was on that freestyle shit, just having fun. Not worried about anyone, and you can tell by how her titties hung. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. 1, 2, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. Until the beat calm, gotta be the short shot. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. Check it on, check it. I might have failed to mention that this chick was creative. Once the man got to her, he altered her native. Told her if she got an image and a gimmick, then she can make money. And she did it like a dummy. Now I see her in commercials, she's universal. She used to only swing it with the inner city circle. Now she be in the burbs looking rockin', dressin' hippie. And on some dumb shit when she comes to the city, talking about popping glocks, serving rocks and hitting switches. Now she's a gangster rolling with gangster bitches. Always smoking blunts and getting drunk, telling me sad stories. Now she only fucks with the funk, stressing how hardcore and real she is. She was really the realest before she got into showbiz. I did her, not just to say I did it, but I'm committed. Girl, but so many niggas hit it that she's just not the same, letting all these goofies do her. I see niggas slamming her and taking her to the sewer. But I'ma take her back, hoping that this shit stop. Cause who I'm talking about, y'all, is hip hop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. Mainframe, yo, they gotta be the short shot. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. To the beat, y'all, and you don't stop. Yes, yes, y'all, and you don't stop. 1, 2, comp since it's going to drop. Ha ha, ha ha, ha ha. I used to love her, 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 I used to love her.
I am he as you are, he as you are, me and we are.
just as we're playing you out, we heard Common, I Used to Love Her, and then I'm the Walrus by the Beatles. And we got a Bon Iver song coming up. And you've been listening to Moist Vibes, 91.5 in Medford, WMFO.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's been a great talk of literature.
Yes.
All things literature. Thanks for